Hello, friends. Check out Paranormality Magazine. It's a community-based project born out of a love for the strange, unexplained, and paranormal, as well as a fascination with the people and creators that make the community what it is. Exploring all 40 subjects from phantoms to UFOs and every cryptid creature in between. Their global team collects stories, conducts interviews, and reports on the cutting-edge paranormal projects that are driving the community forward. A digital subscription to Paranormality Magazine is only $3.99 a month, with print subscriptions also available. You can use coupon code FKN and get 10% off your subscription. It's the best way to support independent, community-based paranormal projects like ours and the ones we feature. Just click that link in the description to get started now. Welcome back to Beyond Classified. I'm Chris Matthew. Today my guest is Macy Tomlin. She is a lifetime apprentice to the Shipibo and Quechua lineage of ayahuasca shamanism and also a facilitator of Bufo ceremonies. She was part of a professional paranormal investigation group for over 10 years and has over 25 years of experience with the spiritual world. She now has accumulated 7-plus years experience with the Shipibo shamanic lineage in Peru. She, alongside her husband, managed Divine Abuela Ayahuasca Shamanic Center in the rainforest of Iquitos, Peru. Macy, welcome. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Hey, I'm excellent. It's great to have you. I can't wait to get into this today. You work with plant medicines, and for me personally, plant medicine, mainly magic mushrooms for myself, have been the most beneficial treatment I've done for healing past trauma, as well as it has opened up an amazing spiritual and metaphysical path that I continue to follow. And I always say I don't believe that these plant medicines such as ayahuasca and bufo, which you facilitate, it may not be for everyone, and to definitely approach these medicines with respect and caution. And today we're going to discuss your work with plant medicines, as well as I want to get your insights into different aspects of the spiritual realms. You've had plenty of paranormal experiences like we were briefly discussing earlier, but this is your first time on. Before we get into anything, tell us more about yourself, your background, and what led you down your path.
Okay, well, I've been on a spiritual path since I was a child. We moved into a really very paranormal home when I was 4 years old. So I've been on this path for about 29 years and been studying pretty much the darkness of what this world entails. And from, you know, the point that I was a child up until I was about 13 years old, we had so much paranormal experiences in the home, things that like really were not explainable other than there's something in the house with us, that led me and my mother to create our own paranormal investigation group and try to understand this world that is clearly there, but is hard to see. So we did that for 10 years and we were more into the analytics at that time, using voice recorders and things like that. We had picked up over 3,000 EVPs, electronic voice phenomenons. We traveled all around the United States. We went to some of the most haunted areas in the United States. And what we saw, again, it just concluded that there is something more than this physical realm that we live in. And so we did that for about 10 years. I had a spiritual awakening that made me realize that ghost hunting and paranormal investigations are actually pretty dangerous and that it's better to focus on the healing. Mm-hmm. So I started to work with magic mushrooms. I wasn't doing it in like the proper way. You know, this is the thing. It's like you have your shamans and you kind of have your psychonauts. And of course we begin kind of as psychonauts going mm-hmm. into the spiritual world, not really understanding understanding how to protect ourselves and things like that. That can come with some spiritual consequences. But this path has led me to ayahuasca. I sat with ayahuasca the first time in 2016. It was a full moon. And I will say, like, the experience that I had with this medicine, with this feminine spirit, completely flipped my world upside down from what I had even known from the spiritual world. And I realized then this is what I want to do with my life. I want to become a shaman. You know, I was really called. And so that's the thing with these medicines, is that you have to really be called in order to want to work with them, because it is an extremely hard path. You get insight into the darkest parts of our spiritual and physical reality. And shamans go through hell. So, and somebody told me that when I was first starting, and I was naive, and I thought, oh yeah, like that, I can do that. That's, and then getting into my apprenticeships, I've done about 9 months worth of apprenticeships. My husband is a shaman as well. He's done 4 years of isolation dietas in the jungle. So with his and my knowledge, we've decided eventually, after working with Bufo Alvarius and going, you know, more into our hearts, to come back to the jungle. We had a call that, like, now is the time to really help people to heal. And that's with the plants that God has created. And always people are again to God, and that's where the healing is. So now we're back in the jungle, and we've opened our own center, and we're really focused on helping people through this dieta process, because, you know, we're not offering like an easy journey. It's very hard if people want to do this. So, you know, that's something that we, you know, forewarn. It's a very hard process, but it's incredibly rewarding in the end. And it's amazing to have these tools in your back pocket, because you can see, you know, going back into the, you know, the matrix, that there are energies. People are incredibly affected by the energies. You can heal yourself. You can see what you're affected by. There's different types of energies, and you learn all about those different types of energies and how they affect you when you sit with plant medicine and you sit in isolation in the middle of the jungle. So it's good. It's good knowledge to have, especially now in this day and age when we're under such a spiritual war.
Excellent. Now, I want to go back, if we can, to some of your earlier paranormal experiences. If maybe you could give us a couple of examples of some of the things that happened to you and what led you to really do investigating.
Okay. Well, it started when we first moved into the home. I lived in Wisconsin growing up, and my parents had found this home that was from the 1800s. It was a really, really small home. And it was like the perfect starting home for parents, you know, with a young child. I was the only child at the time. And the first things that started to happen was that we had this door that had led from like the main door into like this hallway. And then there was another door to the living room, and that would slam. It would open and slam. It would, you know, we would play with it, you know, because we knew that there were ghosts. You know, my mom would always talk about the experiences that she was having. So I would like knock on the door, and then like an hour later, someone would bang on that door and answer. And it was just really creepy how that would happen. But then, you know, boxes started to stack up on top of one another in the basement. And then weirder, you know, stranger things started to happen. I was run over by a lawnmower. And I absolutely now in hindsight realized that it was the energy of this home that had created some bad luck. My parents got divorced. And that's something that, you know, people I don't think realize in the matrix, is that the reason I think divorce is so high is because energy targets the union of a relationship. So if people are affected by energies, it will go after the relationship and the union first. So people will start to act out. They'll have like demonic possessions, and then the family unit disintegrates, because that's what these energies want. They don't want a family union. Oh, wow. And then we started to have financial and severe mental illness and physical illness. So some of the family members started to get extremely sick in the home, had to have like major surgeries, ended up on disability, on antipsychotic medication. And those antipsychotics and antidepressants actually block your connection to God. So the demonic possession was even worse in those people.
Oh, wow.
Throughout the home. So they would make farm animal noises and bite themselves. And, you know, it was really, really demonic. And then when I turned 13, I don't know if you know this, but when a woman gets her menstruation, back in the old days, like the tribe would send the woman off on her own. And actually my husband and I talk about this, you know, that maybe we should continue this tradition, because blood energy is super powerful, and the energy of dead blood, negative spirits are attracted to the smell of it. So when you're in the jungle and you're training, if a woman, if another apprentice who gets their period, all the other apprentices, even if she hasn't said anything, if she's away, we can either smell it, we can taste it, or we can see the red energy of the blood. So we're all on the same frequency. We are all seeing the same things, or we have similar experiences where we know, okay, blood energy is in the air. So when I was about 13 years old, I was starting to get my menstruation, and the paranormal activity went from, you know, where it was already to poltergeist activity, where rocks were falling from the ceiling. There was one time where, you know, things were like, the activity was starting to really accelerate, and I was the target. And so I would be up in my room and windows would slam and doors would slam. And so eventually I had started to sleep down in the living room with my mom, and she put a mat out for me. And there was one time we had 13 foot high ceilings. And this is what sparked our interest for ghost investigation after this particular experience. I'm laying on this mat and I feel something crawling on me. So I woke up my mom. She was bothered. She was like, "Nothing's crawling on you." And out of the blue, this white light, and it was brighter than the sun, appeared on our 13 foot high ceilings and started to like try to focus like an eye. And I was looking at it thinking I was going crazy, because I was going through these experiences a little bit more than my mom at the point in the house. And she all of a sudden goes, "What is that?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, you see it too." So I flipped over the covers because I was terrified. When I peeked out, it had moved over to the other side. My mom was like, you know, very curious as to what this was, because it didn't go away. It was like 30, 40 seconds of this thing moving on the ceiling. And that's what really sparked our interest and our curiosity. We started to visit, you know, cemeteries at that point, get our voice recorders out. We picked up some very, very negative energies. It's like playing with a Ouija board. So I definitely don't recommend, doing this. It can lead to some more severe demonic possessions and things like that. Things started to get progressively worse and worse through the home until I moved, you know, even after we moved out. What we realized about that home is one day in 2015, there was a woman that was walking down the street. She said, "I used to live in your home in the 80s. She had a conversation with my mom. She started talking, and it eventually came out that her ex-husband at that time was doing satanic rituals in our home in the 80s. So, and that explained everything.
Wow. That's crazy.
He opened a portal.
Man. Now, you said you had a sort of spiritual awakening experience that shifted what you were doing from paranormal investigation to healing. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I had, in 2009, I had met this woman who was a Reiki master. So she invited me over to her home for like a Reiki collection. She taught Reiki. Reiki is a Japanese healing technique that basically opens the crown and allows energy in. And I think that I was, you know, I had already been on this. I think that honestly, I was being trained since childhood for what was to come in my life. So this was just kind of the next step of learning about energy work and that energy effects. And so I wasn't so completely open or attuned to what I actually was channeling. And I would say, honestly, like Reiki isn't like 100% pure. If you don't know how to protect yourself, you can also get pretty spiritually injured from that. But it did open me up to this new world. And I started to have these symptoms that I really wasn't able to explain, where my ears were ringing really loud. And I was starting to see, you know, apparitions of different spirits, shadow figures and things like that. It started to pick up where my psychic abilities were starting to enhance. I was having experiences with dreams of extraterrestrials that were really profound. And I started to watch the stars at night. I was starting to have this feeling like something is coming and I don't know how to explain it. The stars look different, you know? So I would just sit outside and watch the stars all night and become connected to nature. And it was at that point that there was a transition where my mom still wanted to go to these like really terrible places for ghost hunts. And I was like, "No, I think I'm done." So my last ghost hunt was at a mental institution in Bartonville, Illinois, where 30 people had gotten a lobotomy. And I realized then, like, okay, this does not make me feel good anymore. And I'm done with it. So that was kind of the shift into medicinal mushrooms at that point, instead of ghost hunting.
Right on. Now, what was it that led you from the psilocybin mushrooms to the ayahuasca? You said you had a really profound experience with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, with the demonic possession of our home, obviously there was a lot of trauma that happened, because demons go after children the most. There's a huge agenda for demons. And so what's going on in the real world right now, the physical world, all these agendas that are going towards these children are actually demonic entities.
Yes.
Because when they can get to their light when they're young, the chances of them finding their light when they're adults is slim. And they know that, because people don't realize how our subconscious mind works. When a child is young, their subconscious mind is very delicate. Everything that's going into their subconscious mind is spiritual, and it stays in their world. And so they'll start to act out their traumas in adulthood. So I was working with psilocybin mushrooms, which was helping me with this trauma. But I wasn't doing it in the proper way. You have to diet with these master plants and trees. You have to, fast, and you can't eat cheese, and you can't be having sex or mixing other drugs and things like that, because they also have a dark side. And when you start to do these, you start to mix these things and don't respect them, then they can turn on you. Right. So, and all of us psychonauts will go through this, but it's something that you will eventually have to work through when you go on to the path of shamanism. So I had given a speech about the therapeutic properties of psychedelics in 2016 at a conference called Anarchapoco. And on that stage that night, they were doing an ayahuasca ceremony that I had been invited to. And that was the ceremony that flipped my world upside down. It made me realize that, okay, maybe there's more to the spiritual world that I don't even understand, but I really want to know. And so that was the beginning of my path. And a year later, I went to Peru, and I did my first 3-month apprenticeship. And then I started to do more long-term apprenticeships, where you just sit in the jungle and you sit with a tree or a plant. The shaman will connect your energy to the spirit of a tree or a plant. They're basically like your roommate. They know you better than yourself. They will uproot all the trauma from your child. What's so interesting is that you don't expect where the trauma is coming from. It can be, energy. And, like, to give you an example, it could be an extraterrestrial that has affected your family for generations and generations down. And so it will be revealed to you, though, in like layers. So you won't like fully get the full picture of what your plants are showing you, but the plants are opening you up to the spiritual world. Within a few weeks after you're sitting in isolation, you've gotten rid of everything. It's called a dieta. And so people get confused about what a dieta process is. A dieta in the United States is, you eat certain foods, but in the jungle, when you say dieta, it's basically you're cutting out everything that you consume, not just food, but everything that you're watching on TV, everything that you have in the matrix, it's gone. You don't have that to rely on. All you have is your plants. And so when you remove all of that, you become more spirit than human, in a sense. You remove salt from your system and all that junk. I don't want to say salt is junk, because salt actually protects us in the spiritual world, but you move all that out of the way. And then you start to have visions of what is around you at all times that we just can't see. So it opens your eyes to a deeper spiritual understanding. Mm-hmm. That was a lot.
No, that's perfect. Perfect. Now tell us, what is your understanding of what is happening whenever we're under the effects of something like ayahuasca? To the best of your knowledge, you said we're actually interacting with the spirit realm. It's allowing us to basically opens up a door in our subconscious to the spirit realm, to where we can interact with different entities and get information from this, right?
Right. And this is where it's dangerous. This is where you don't want to just go to a shaman that you don't know and sit with them, because there are bad people in this community, right? Like, I don't want to say bad, but yes, there are sorcerers. And so you want to make sure that you know the person that you're sitting with, because that's going to determine your mental, your physical, and your spiritual safety. Because what you are doing when you sit with ayahuasca is you are opening your world to the world of Mother Nature, basically. And Mother Nature has both light and dark spirits. So you can interact with all of those different kinds of multidimensional beings that are around us all the time, but we're protected usually by the salt intake, like I was saying. When you remove that with ayahuasca, you are really just open to what's around you in your airs. She'll take you, but she's such a lovely spirit. You know, when you connect to her, so she'll show you the outside world, but she also wants to show you what needs to be healed on the inside. So she'll take you into the world of your body and your mind and your spirit and show you what needs to be worked on as well. And that you need to really stay focused on that work, because bad energy, the malicious energy, they don't hit you where you're strong. They hit you where you're weak. So if you have traumas, you need to heal those before you really want to go into an apprenticeship.
Now, is it common with most ceremonies that people will experience the spirit of Mother Ayahuasca or a similar type of entity?
It depends on how charged they are. So charged is a word that we use when he has like a lot of energy. So you hear some people meet angels and light and God, you know, and that's my favorite part of this work, is that you have an atheist that comes just for the experience. And within one night they've met God, and you see the look on their face, it completely changes. And to have such a profound experience in just one night where they can say, I wasn't believing in God, but now I know that there is a God. That's so beautiful. That's a profound experience with Mother Nature right there. And that will change their whole outlook on life and the way that their life progresses after that. But if they're very charged at first with a lot of energy, if it's demonic or extraterrestrial energy, you know, they've got a lot of spiritual attachments, then sometimes they won't have anything happen. They won't have visions. They won't have, because the medicine has to work through you a little bit more. And that's where like a healing dieta is really, really important, because ayahuasca is healing, but alone, she can't go as deep. That's why you want to do like a healing dieta where the plants, there's different master plants that work on different issues in your body. And that will take you deeper into the healing.
Now, it's not just emotional and childhood trauma that this can help heal. I have heard of instances where people have found disease and physical ailments through ayahuasca sessions. Is this right?
Yes. Are you saying to heal the disease?
No, to find, well, they have found out about the disease. I'm not sure about if they've ever used ayahuasca to actually heal it, but they were actually able to become aware of some of the ailments that they had, like cancers and things like that. How often does it feel like parenting is an uphill battle, with the answer to so many questions enveloped in mysteries even more daunting than the content of our show? How often do you wish the conversations about chores with your teenager or bills with your wife were easier or, better yet, more productive? How long have you been trying to do your best and still feel like you're not really cut out for parenting? Your story is all too familiar to so many other fathers. It's a tiring one, so why not flip the script and have what you want? Dad's Here Now is a peer network of fathers who learn together, grow together, and mentor one another with like-minded goals and group vision. Dad's Here Now believes that the best dad is the one doing their best. Make your best even better and get started right away with a free 45-minute consultation. Just use the Calendly link in the description and let them know FKN sent you over.
Yeah. Yep. Ayahuasca will show you. I had an experience once where I was shown my liver, and it literally had an eye that was like tired on it. And so the medicine will show you the ailments that are in your body, because each one of our organs has its own consciousness, I've come to find through ayahuasca. And so when we don't treat them right, they get tired. And so she can absolutely show you where there is a manifestation of negative energy that's gotten into the body and is, you know, kind of taking over in a certain area. Absolutely, she can do that.
Now, aside from childhood trauma and showing us some of the things that we need to heal ourselves, what What else can Mother Ayahuasca show us and do for us during these experiences?
She can show, I mean, it's limitless potential with ayahuasca. The learning is limitless. Like when you start to step on this path, there is no like ending. Like you can't say like, oh, I know more than, no, because it really is the path where you say, the more I know, the less I know. She can show you the cosmos. She can show it. You know, we try to tell people like, don't focus so much on the worldly issues when you come down here, like focus on yourself, because if you ask her, she's going to show you what's going on with the world. And it can be really intense because the world is obviously going through a major purge and there's a lot of, you know, demonic entities right now. So we tell people to like, really just focus on yourself. If you think about your sister or something like that, then all of a sudden you're going to start to see her energies. So she can take you really wherever you want to go. Once she showed me, I was told to pray more. So like I spent an entire day just praying. And in that ceremony, she and I met her, you know, she will actually come to show herself. So she'll show herself as a jaguar, a butterfly, the anaconda snake. And then sometimes like, I've only seen her once in this form, like this beautiful, like green woman. And she told me like, we are hearing you, like continue to pray, you know, so she'll give you life advice, that is really helpful just to make your life, less complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very simple life in the end, but it is, you know, it takes a lot of self-dedication. So she's teaching you that to simplify your life. And to have a lot of self-dedication in the end.
Earlier, you mentioned attachments. What is your understanding of what these are? Are these intelligences or entities that reside in these spirit realms that feed on our negative emotion, and they're somewhat of like a parasite? I've heard that these things can attach through childhood traumatic experiences as well as other traumatic experiences. Or if people open up themselves through, like you were saying earlier, drugs or illicit substances, right?
Absolutely. So there's different types of energies. And that's what you start to learn here in the jungle, depending on like what kind of plant or the tree that you're working with, they're going to start to show you those energies. So some of them are very intelligent. If say there's a black magic attack, which a lot of people, especially like young girls, are like practicing like dark magic in the States. They're actually, what they don't realize is that they're summoning not just one spirit, but usually like when it comes to a black magic attack, it's like hundreds of spirits being summoned to attack you or target you. So you have to deal with a lot of different like, energies. You start to realize how they affect you. Demons, if somebody has a demonic attachment, usually they have a lot of anger because demons feed on that anger. They also feed on your sadness, you know, behind that is depression. If you're very tired or lethargic, normally you're dealing with a spirit of the dead. So how I can explain this is that some spirits don't cross. They are in this like limbo world and they are very tired. So they just kind of like travel around tired. And so when one gets into your energy field, a lot of the times you feel very lethargic. Like you can't do anything. Depression comes. If it's extraterrestrial, which I've dealt with a lot, it can affect your, like, it can give you like an ADHD mind. It also, they have a lot of different agendas that I'm starting to like realize. And they're also one of like the most difficult energies to clean because they work interdimensionally. So they'll pop in and they'll pop out of your ceremonies. And at first, when you're starting to learn how to clean them, play with you like a cat plays with a mouse. So I definitely like, people talk a lot about like, oh, I met this extraterrestrial. I'm going to be honest, like 90% of the extraterrestrials that I've dealt with are not good.
I was just about to ask you if these extraterrestrials, if you understand them as spiritual or metaphysical entities, or are these like beings that are coming across the galaxy from different planets to stick probes in our butts on tin cans? I mean, I tend to lean towards the more metaphysical because that's based on my own personal experience, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it.
I mean, yeah, I think that they can manifest in the physical form, but where we tend to meet them and why they're so interested in us, like one told me once, cause I asked like, what do you want from me? And you know, they, and like, I don't know how my mind could make up the visions that I have because it's nothing that I've seen like on a TV show or anything like that. You know, it's like, it's a completely different like vision of an extraterrestrial. But I asked one, like, what do you want from me? And they have to answer, and they'll like proudly tell you. This one told me like, I'm here to harvest your eggs. So there's a lot of different agendas that are going on. And of course, because they work multidimensionally, it wouldn't surprise me that they could harvest eggs. Another extraterrestrial electrocuted me from the crown to my crown to the urethra. So I've realized that they're really like they use a lot of electricity. So when people tell me like, oh, it feels electric, like I feel like I'm vibrating, it's normally extraterrestrial and it's normally not good. They also can like, the weirdest one that I've seen so far with extraterrestrials is this twin flame like movement that's going on, where people think that they've met their twin flame and it's like this big like spiritual experience, and they become like desperate. They start to chase this person, and then one turns off and the other one is like desperate. That can be often linked to an extraterrestrial experience, where somebody has been connected to another person because they either want to, for me personally, this is what I saw. They're trying to bypass technology and bypass through telepathy to try to like monitor us through our telepathy. So there, this twin flame movement that's going on, I really think that it's an agenda and it's taking people off of their true mission on Earth.
That's so interesting. I want to get a little bit deeper into that. When you say twin flame, what is happening to people? Are they just becoming obsessed with a partner and the partner just vanishes or something like that, or cuts it off abruptly? What's going on?
So it's a very, very interesting experience, because, and it's profound, and that's why people get hooked on it, because they start to have dreams of this person that are so profound, you know. Oh. Eye stares, usually sometimes they're in like a yellow room. Sometimes it's sexual, sometimes it's not, but there's always like a deep eye stare. You're having a conversation with this person, but in the physical, it's radio silent, that the other person doesn't want anything to do with you. And so it's really confusing. And a lot of people are going through this process where they can feel their counterparts, like right next to them. And they're like talking to them. But I have come to find out a lot of these are actually extraterrestrial, connections. And it's used right now, specifically, especially in the New Age movement. There is a lot of deception in the New Age movement. There is a lot of extraterrestrial energy in the New Age movement. And there is a lot of false light in the New Age movement. So obviously, because we are very naive in the spiritual worlds. We were never taught how to protect ourselves, how to discern between good and bad energy. You know, the devil doesn't come with horns. He was at one point an angel. So he knows how to trick people into thinking it's an angel. So you have to have discernment on this path, because when you don't, it leads you. And a lot of people who have undergone these twin flame connections end up getting cancer in the end, because they've just harnessed the energy from you, the desperation, all of that. So they're basically eating you alive. And it sounds crazy, but this is what I've seen over and over in ceremonies and what we're cleaning off of a lot of people.
Now, this leads me to think about something that a couple of acquaintances and actually friends have told me that they believe they've experienced during the night, when they're sleeping. They'll have awful dreams, or they may be in astral form where they're being attacked by these entities, and they'll wake up the next day. And one example is a person thought they were being tied down with a rope by these entities and beaten. And the next day they woke up and there was a literal rope burn on their arm. And I'm wondering if these things are messing with people in astral form in their dreams. Do you know anything about that?
Absolutely. So when you dream, when you have dreams, these are great for determining what kind of energy is around you. So that's what I tell people: pay attention to your dreams, because if you don't have dreams, then there's a darkness that's blocking you, or you've connected to like the shitana, the darkness of marijuana, and she's actually like, her darkness is blocking you from seeing things. That's why people, you know, don't have visions or dreams when they work too much with marijuana. If you have, you know, if your dreams are dark, that usually means that there's like a dark air in your world. And this is what's amazing about the plants. The plants are going to show you, you have super profound dreams in the jungle, because they're showing you what is in your world and what you, what attachments you have. So in that regard, when people are getting attacked in their dreams, it is absolutely real. That's exactly what they're going through. They need to have a shaman clean those ropes, because in at least in their soul form, those ropes are real. We see those all the time in ceremonies when we're cleaning people.
That's incredible. Now, maybe you could give us some examples. You were talking about spiritual consequences for those that are using psychedelics like psychonauts, or people that are just becoming interested in some of these substances and plant medicines, that there can be some sort of spiritual consequences, danger with entity contact. Could you give us some examples of that?
Sure. I can give you an example from just personal experience. When I started to work with mushrooms, I was with somebody who was like cooking bacon. Pork is an absolute no. Once you start to go down the apprenticeship road, you cannot eat pork at all. Like it's such a dirty energy, and it completely disconnects you from your plants. So like in ceremony, if I were to eat, and if you eat pork during a dieta, when you're working like one-on-one with these plants, it can literally kill you. So like pork is like a no. But I remember I was sitting in a trailer and somebody was cooking pork, and like I got this message from the mushroom, like, you need to get out of this trailer. Like just the airs of the pork was like affecting the myriation. We call it a myriation. It's like the world that you're in when you're working with medicinal plants. So it was affecting my myriation. So, and from that point on, I was like, maybe I don't want to eat pork anymore. And then I discover like later that like shamans don't eat pork. So that's one. And like, if people are eating, you want to eat a pizza and you're like, and you've just eaten mushrooms, like cheese, they do not like, they don't like any, like cheese, they don't like sex. Sex is a big one. And that's usually why the marijuana plant turns on people. That's why you start to feel paranoia and anxiety, or you don't have dreams, because, and she's actually pretty patient with us, but she has a darkness. So, you know, and I've made all these mistakes myself, because you just don't know that these are actual spirits, and Mother Nature has boundaries, and we haven't learned how to respect her boundaries. So sex, red meat, pork, cheese, all of those things you want to avoid when you're taking the medicine, any kind of medicine, really. So years down the road, I'm sitting in an actual proper mushroom ceremony with a mushroom called the Golden Teacher from Oaxaca. And the teacher came, like the spirit of the teacher came to me and said, look at what you've done. I had to deal with all of the darkness that I had done to myself, because the plants don't care whether or not you know or don't. You've already made the mistake, and they're going to put up their darkness. It's like coming into somebody's home belligerent and dirty shoes. Like, they've got guards. They're going to kick you out, and they might beat you up. And so, and you're going to deal with those spiritual consequences. So for me, it was like, bad luck. And, you know, sometimes my mood was really off, and it was because of the fact that I had disrespected the mushroom and I didn't even know. So people are dealing with spiritual consequences from these plants. They won't even know until you sit with ayahuasca or something. And then you're like, oh, that's why I've been dealing with that since I started working with the plants, you know, and I had no idea.
Right on. Now, as far as some of the ceremonies that you've done and your own experiences, what are some of the most profound healings that you've done, whether it's mental, emotional, healing past trauma, even physical? What are some of the most profound experiences that you've witnessed or even had yourself?
One of the most profound ones that I had was in the beginning of my first apprenticeship. And I had been run over by a lawnmower when I was 4, and I had all my toes cut off by a riding lawnmower. My grandpa accidentally backed up over me. And I remember when I was 4, I was looking at my foot, and my toe was like basically dangling. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's what's inside of me. And from that point, I didn't think that I had any more trauma, you know, based on that. I thought that, you know, I was in my 20s. I had healed from that. I wasn't, you know, I didn't hate myself or think differently of myself because I had a foot that looked different. But ayahuasca opened a door for me, or she didn't even make me walk through it. She'll give you the option to, if you want to like visit something that was traumatic, she'll ask you like, do you want to go down this door? And I was like, because I didn't think that it was traumatic, you know, I was like, yeah, let's go down the door. And she opened that door and I was back being run over, just then run over by a lawnmower. And the trauma and the shock that I felt was almost to the point of crippling. Like I couldn't breathe during that ceremony. It all came up at like once. And it was like, okay, so my subconscious mind has literally repressed this trauma, this shock. And I realized a part of my soul had left its body. It's the reason why I was having problems with dissociation when I was in like conflict or something like that. My part of me would just like leave. And so I realized, you know, that it was still, it had done like a massive shock to my nervous system that I'm still actually working on healing. And so it did much more damage than I had originally thought. And from there you start to work on, so it's like you start to heal something, you're not fully healed, right? Like you get to that point where you're facing the trauma, you're about 30% healed. And then you'll start to work on it a little bit, little more by little more, things will be even more opened and that you don't expect. And you start to realize more and more about the trauma. And that's when you start to place your medicine in that and heal it. Really in order to heal it, it has to be felt. Another one that I had was my dad had abandon our family when I was 5. And I thought I was over that. I didn't think that that was bothering me. And two of my plants like uprooted that during one of my apprenticeships and like showed it to me, like, this is how this is still affecting you. Like, this is why you can't have meaningful relationships. This is why you have abandoned, you know, like you perceive abandonment before it comes. And this is why, like, and something else that I noticed was that like, I was always like the second pick for a man. I was never the first. And so like, it's like your world creates your reality, right? And if so, these deep traumas that we don't even really realize that we have, that's why ayahuasca is really good for, it's like 10 years of psychotherapy in like a month. Mm. She can go so deep with you. So realizing that I had all these issues still from all these traumas from my childhood, you're not really healed and you don't really know how to do it unless you have like help really, to show you where this is coming from. And of course with ayahuasca, like you really actually have the experience of going back into that trauma and realizing how it's affecting you. So for that, it's amazing. It's really good for sexual trauma as a child. It's really good for, you know, any kind of trauma. She can really help you with that.
Now I want to get a little deeper into your understanding of the spirit of these medicines. You were saying that all of these plant medicines have a spiritual aspect or a consciousness about them that if you misuse or abuse them, it can turn against you. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
So this is what you have to really be careful when you're working with plant medicine, because this is not a toy at all. This is serious, serious work. You have to take it very seriously. And this is where I say, don't walk this path unless you're called to walk it. Because you're going to face some things, you're going to like, it's always tests. You're always going to have tests. So there are plants that we usually start people off with that are more forgiving, that have more light. So there are certain plants that you can work with that just have light. So you can make way more mistakes and you will make mistakes. That's how you learn on this path is you make those mistakes and then you suffer the spiritual consequences. Mm-hmm. But when you start to like go deeper and deeper, you start to have more of an understanding of what you can and cannot do in these worlds. Mostly you just want to sit, you know, and try not to move in these worlds and just be as quiet as you can. Moving too fast will move the energy. And then you end up cleaning the airs for, you know, like a day. So it's very like, you have to like really be conscious about how you're acting. When you have anger, you start to manifest like different like creatures around you. Like if you have a lot of anger, snakes will start to manifest around you, like actual physical snakes in the jungle. So you have to be really careful about your anger. When you start to understand more shamanism, then we usually, you know, we'll prescribe you like a tree. A tree is a lot harder to diet because it has more darkness. So there's a specific tree here in the jungle that is for shamanism. He teaches shamanism. And the story behind him is that he was once a fallen angel, but he wanted to help humanity. So God turned him into a tree. So his leaves reach to heaven. but his roots reach to the other place. You have to be very, very careful on this tree, because you're risking, in a sense, your soul. If you make a mistake, the diet can turn and you end up going into his darkness. So you do not want to have, you cannot have sex. You cannot eat pork. You just sit in your tumbo and you ask this tree to, you ask, I want to connect to your light. Please connect me to your light angels, to the ones that serve God. You know, you're constantly praying with this tree to keep you in his light. But the beautiful thing about this tree is, if you do a good diet with him, and he's the definition of tough love, you will have tests that will like put you in tears at the end of this diet, right? But if you do a good job, then it's like you have these trees that are protecting you in ceremony from these bad energies. He's your ammo. He's your ally. They're your friends, if you treat them right. And they will constantly be there for you and protect you if you do a good job with them and you respect them.
Now, could you walk us through the process that you recommend people do before they attend the ceremony and during and afterwards? Just walk us through what your ceremony is like.
So first you want to lay, the first thing that shamans learn how to do when they're starting their apprenticeship is protect themselves. So that's like the main thing that you want to do. If you aren't on the path of apprentice, you know, you're not on the path of shamanism yet, if you're still working with like mushrooms, like you want to make sure like your space is very clean, right? So you pick up, you make sure everything is in order, because energies hide in the clutter. So the more cluttered your house is, if the dishes aren't done, like it's energetically dirty and you can, you're risking attack, right? So like our maloka is super clean. And then you pray for protection. You ask the great spirit, there's great spirits that are working in divine union with God and want to serve us. So you ask them for help to protect your mind, to protect your heart, to protect your body and your spirit. And ask for, you know, armor, spiritual armor when you're going to go into the spiritual worlds. So you do all of this. And then for shamans, like they have to connect to their medicine, in order to sing well. And then, once the mariation is starting with ayahuasca, then we start to sing. And so we're straightening our song and we're aligning ourselves with our medicine. And then we start to sing, and the plants teach us how to sing. So it's not really us. Like the plants teach us the Icaros in ceremony. And what's so beautiful is like, there could be a shaman on one part of Peru and a shaman on the other, and they both come back dieting one tree, a similar tree, and have the same Icaros. So there's something there where the trees are teaching you how to sing. The plants are teaching you how to sing. They all come with, you know, you call one plant for opening, you call one plant for trauma, you call another plant if you're dealing with a, you know, a demon, to help you like remove it. So there's all these different types of trees and tree spirits and plant spirits that are going to help you work through that ceremony. So you clean the airs, you clean the worlds, you know, you clean all of these things until you feel like, okay, everybody's mariation is starting to come down. We're going to close the ceremony.
Could you talk a little bit about the difference between ayahuasca and bufo, which you also facilitate?
Yeah. The difference between ayahuasca and bufo is ayahuasca, you start from out here and you work your way into the heart. And with bufo, you start from the heart and you work your way out. Bufo is more of, it's right away. You don't wait with bufo. Like you feel like you are kind of dying in a sense when you smoke bufo, because the ego is starting to, you know, disconnect from the body. And so with that ego that's disconnected, there is no filter. What I love about bufo is you can go into this absolute pure world of love. It's like God's love. And bufo, I think, was brought to us because we were getting to the point in the jungle where we were just fighting energies all the time. And we were going into warrior mode, kind of outside of our hearts, kind of forgetting our hearts. And I think ayahuasca led us on this journey, because we thought we're done with Peru. Like, we're done with ayahuasca for a while. But I've realized in hindsight that ayahuasca actually sent us on a journey with bufo, because we needed to learn how to be back in our hearts and in love in order to continue with ayahuasca, that you can't just be a warrior all the time. You have to be in love.
So what would be
and
some
I love
of
bufo.
The
bufo is one of my favorites.
Yeah. What would be some of the different things that you would use Bufo for versus ayahuasca? You know, would it be different types of trauma, different types of emotional release? What do you use them for?
Well, every medicine has their purpose, right? Like there's some medicines that can reach places that like ayahuasca can't. Bufo is one of those. Bufo can go a lot. I don't want to say deeper because ayahuasca really can go deep. But the difference I would say is that Bufo works on your crown and ayahuasca works on the body. So you're really, really connected to like the higher realms of the spiritual world in Bufo. And wherever you ask Bufo to take you, he will take you. So if you want to, like, we worked a lot with the Ascended Master Saint Germain and the Violet Flame of compassion with Bufo. And then I also worked with a lot of, like, if I called, you know, Native American spirits, they would be right there, you know, to help me. It's a very different way of working with Bufo. The ceremony doesn't last as long, but the healing and the love that you get from Bufo is out of this world. I can't explain really how beautiful that love is from Bufo. I always felt really like just in gratitude with Bufo. Mm. I would say that it's more intense in ways than ayahuasca and less intense than ayahuasca in other ways. So really you just have to maybe give it a go yourself and see which one best fits you, what best suits you for the time being. And that, you know, in the future, maybe another medicine will call you to work with them. That's how these spirits work. They'll call you and then you start working with, you know, maybe one spirit at a time.
Now, I want to go back to something you said towards the beginning of the broadcast. When you were talking about the demonic agendas behind not only what happens in these astral realms, but what they are subjecting to children in our physical reality. Could you explain a little bit more about how you understand this demonic agenda working and how you came across this information and what's behind all this that we're seeing right now?
Oh, this is a big topic. And I have my own views on it. It doesn't have to be everybody's views, but this is what I see. I see that the Mayan prophecy, the Hopi prophecy, and the Book of Revelation prophecies are all coming to fruition at the same time. That concerns me just a little bit. And what I see is everything is accelerating really fast. In ceremonies for people who have gotten the vaccine, what we're seeing is that it is an AI extraterrestrial hybrid. There is an oily almost octopus that's wrapped around their hearts. That's why they're having heart attacks. What's interesting is that it will literally reach out to like consume every person's meriation in ceremony. So we've actually had to like work to figure out how to stop it from affecting other people's meriation. So we're trying to find different plants and trees to help with us, help them to clean that, because I do feel that ayahuasca and these plants can heal it spiritually. Absolutely. I don't have a doubt in my mind about that, but this is what we're seeing from the vaccine. And of course, how did they get people to take the vaccine? They cause trauma. They cause immense trauma, because once people are in fear, they will do anything. So I believe that this was the start of the end. I'll say it. Like, I think that there's, and I don't know how it's going to end and I don't know when, but something big is coming. And I think it's going to continue to accelerate. I just got a message from Spirit the other day that things are going to start to manifest physically. And we're already seeing that through the rituals that they're doing on the Grammys and things like that. Like, it's starting to manifest physically. And
well, you know what's very strange? Did you hear about what the Pentagon official just said, that there's some sort of mothership that is headed our way and it's possible that it may release some kind of probes? I mean, what world are we living in right now? This is insanity.
I did. Yeah, and we all know that's Project Bluebeam. That's not going to be, they're going to release holograms.
Yeah, yeah.
Saturn is in Pisces right now. Saturn is in Pisces, and I think that with Saturn in Pisces, Pisces is like the most spiritual, the most deep. It comes with illusion. So it wouldn't surprise me if the fake alien invasion happened in this time. I think things are going to get way worse. I think we're going to start to really see demonic entities at some point. It's already happening. Look at the transgender agenda where they're having, you know, those drag shows, and they've got a flag that says 666 up at the top as they're, you know, I don't know if you saw that, that happened during Christmas, and it was for children. So you're just starting to see these demonic agendas start to play out more and more and more, and they're going to become more and more excessive. They're going to accelerate more and more. I think 2024, there's going to be something big that happens that's going to spiritually awaken a lot of people to what's going on. And I also think 2028 is going to be a really profound year. These are just things that I've gotten in my own ceremony, so take it for a grain of salt. I'm just sharing. But I don't think that these prophecies are coming. It's so many prophecies at the same time. For no reason. There's something happening right now. And I do think that things are going to get way worse before they get better. Because I think people are going to start realizing that the spiritual world is more real than they think it is.
Right. Is it common for yourself or others to have premonitions or prophetic experiences that show us what's happening around us in the spiritual realms and things that we don't understand that are manifesting in reality?
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to be careful with that though, because spirits can trick you. So that's where I'm like really careful with the information that I've gotten, because sometimes it's not correct. You know, sometimes it might be wrong. You have to have discernment on this.
So that's a good question to lead to, is how do you discern when you're in these realms, if you're talking with a benevolent spirit that's giving you correct information?
A good spirit will never tell you, you absolutely have to do this thing right now. That's a bad spirit. Normally, actually 100% of the time, any spirit that's telling you like, you need to do this right now. Don't take that with a grain of sand, take 28 days, take a full moon cycle to really think about that. Because that can lead you into some serious tower moments in your life. Bad energies try to make you make mistakes, because that's also how they can get in. So they know, they already know kind of the future. If you make this mistake, they know the outcome of what's going to happen. And then they know that they can attack you then. So you have to be really careful. A good spirit will only give you life advice that's going to help with your life, you know, in like, meditate more, or, you know, write more, do some art, or, you know, maybe you want to study some math or something like that. Something that, you know, feels light. But if it's telling you like, you need to get a hold of your ex-boyfriend, no, or you need to right now move to a different country, take some time to think about that, because normally you'll come to a different decision at the end.
With everything that's happening, and when we just discussed the possibility that there is something, some huge event in the over the horizon that could really alter people's spiritual perspective, it seems that this is already starting to occur. I've noticed a lot of people awakening, if you could say, and looking into spiritual aspects of reality and understanding the level of deception that they're subjected to on a daily basis. Do you have hope that there will be enough of us that can awaken to this to shift the possible dystopic timeline that we're headed on?
I think no matter what, as long as you are connected to God, you are going to be okay. No matter what you go through, if you are with God, you are going to be okay. And if you don't have a strong connection with God, then that's who I would worry about, honestly, because they don't have the protection, or they deny that protection that God will give you. So that's what I would, that's, you know, so no matter what we're going to go through, and I think we're all going to face some serious challenges here coming up in the future. As long as you have God on your side, you're always going to come out okay.
Excellent. And that's a perfect note to close on. Macy, thank you so much. Before you head out, let the audience know if they are interested in having a ceremony or finding out more about what you offer or just more about yourself. What's the best way they can do so?
For sure. I have a website. It's divinaabuelaayahuasca.pe. I'm on Facebook at Macy Tomlin. I'm also on Telegram at My Medicine Tribe. So I have a few ways that people can communicate with me. And if you're interested in sitting, of course, we want to definitely do a video call with you and really explain the process well. We're not just going to throw you into a tambo and give you a bunch of ayahuasca. That's not how we work. We work poco a poco, little by little, and really prepare somebody for the dieta process so they can walk safely through it and they're grounded when they go home. So if they're if anybody is interested, of course, I'm available and ready to have a discussion at any time with anybody who's interested.
Excellent.
Or called, Macy. Mostly.
Excellent. Macy, thank you so much. This was fantastic. Great information. And I'd love to have you back on. There's so much more we could get into.
I would love that.
For sure, definitely. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We will talk again tomorrow. We'll see y'all then. Right now is the most critical time for us to take back control of our food supply and become self-reliant by having our very own food forest. Transform your yard into a food forest and create a system of self-reliance that's easy and enjoyable with our friends at Food Forest Abundance. No matter where you're starting from, you can become more self-reliant. You can take your self-reliance to the next level by becoming a producer of your own food through growing and foraging. Learn how to turn your property into an income-producing source of economic self-reliance. If you're ready to go off-grid, click the link in the description and use coupon code FORBIDDEN for discounts on your very own food forest with Food Forest Abundance.